Hello, my name is Wen Song. I'm from China. My topic is Linux Virtual Server for Scalable Network Services.
Okay.
With the explosive growth of the internet, the potential number of clients that a network service must support has dramatically increased, and some hot sites has already received hundreds of tens of thousands concurrent connections. So with the increasing number of users and increasing workload, companies often worry about how system grows over time. Furthermore, rapid response and 24 hours a day and 7 days a week availability are mandatory requirements for mission-critical business applications. So the requirement for hardware and software solution for highly scalable and highly available service can be summarized as follows. Incremental scalability, when the load offered to the service increases, system should be scaled to meet the requirement. And 24 hours a day and 7 days a week availability. The service as a whole must be available 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, and despite of transient partial hardware and software failures. Manageability, although the whole system may be physically large, but it should be easier to manage. Cost effectiveness. The whole system must be economical to afford and expand. A single server solution usually is not good for scalable service because a single server is usually not sufficient to handle aggressively increasing workload. And the server upgrade process is complicated. Anyway, the server will be a single failure point of the whole system. So cluster of servers connected by a fast network is emerging a viable architecture for highly available and highly scalable service. This loosely coupled architecture is more scalable and more reliable than a tightly coupled and multiple processor system. Okay, here is our solution to meet these requirements called Linux Virtual Server. Linux Virtual Server is a software tool that supports load balancing among the multiple internet servers that share workload. It can be used to build scalable network services. The load balancer can direct different requests to different back-end servers. And it can make the parallel service of real servers to appear as a single service on one IP address. So the client application just see this is a single server. So that's why I call it a virtual server. And the clients are not affected by interaction with the cluster and do not need modification. Okay, let's have a look at three types of architecture for LVS. The first tie is a load balancer. The load balancer is the front end to the service is seen by the other side world, and it do the load balancing stuff. The second tie is a server pool. This implement actual network services, and the third tie is storage. The storage is provided the same content for this network services. They usually are distributed file system and mounted as a local device in this real servers. So the load balancer use IP load balancing techniques inside the kernel. So the overhead of scheduling request is low. And so the load balancer can schedule a lot of server nodes, and itself when it become the bottle of the whole system. The scalability can be achieved by adding nodes in the server pool. For example, when the node to the system saturated the capacity of existing server nodes, more server load can be added to handle the increasing workload. Since the dependence of most network services is often not high, and so the performance can be scaled linearly with the number of server nodes. And usually we use a PC service. PC service is of a very high performance cost ratio. So we use it use a building block, and the performance cost ratio of the whole system is high too. For example, if you buy a Sun Enterprise 10,000 for web service, you can just buy 10 PC server for the same purpose. I think the performance will be same, but you can compare the price. When Sun Enterprise server, Enterprise 10,000 server and 10 PC server. The high availability can be provided by detecting server nodes and services and reconfiguring the system. Usually we have some monitoring software running on the load balancer. If it detects the server nodes fails, it will remove it from the scheduling table, and the new connection will not be sent to the failed one. Then the load balancer might be a single point of failure in the whole system. So we set up a backup to it, and there are user heartbeat between the if the primary load balancer fails, the backup will take over. Fail back. You can configure. I use use a heartbeat, and you can configure time.
What do you typically recommend?
Maybe two seconds. Yeah. Okay, let's have a look at IP load balancing techniques. We implement virtual server via network address translation and virtual server via IP tunneling and via direct routing, three methods. Okay, the first one is a virtual server via network address translation. The architecture is illustrated in this figure. When the user wants to access the virtual service provided by this server class, the request tested for virtual IP address will arrive at the load balancer. And load balancer will rewrite the destination address and port number to the selected servers. And the real server will process the request and send a response packet to the client. And the response packet must go through the load balancer. And load balancer can return the source address and port number to the virtual service. So the client can see the response packet is from virtual service and not from real server. Oh, here is a very simple example of virtual server via network address translation. One load balancer and two real server. And there are two web services run on two servers respectively and group them into a single web service. The packet rewriting flow is as follows. So, the incoming packet may be like this, and the destination is the internet address and the port number. And the load balancer will rewrite the destination address to this one. Then, when response packet get back, actually, the source address is the real server's one. So the load balancer relates this back to virtual service. Okay, let's have a look at virtual server via IP tunneling. IP tunneling is a technique to encapsulate an IP datagram within IP datagram, which allows the datagram destined for one IP address can be warped and redirected to another IP address. So here we can use tunneling to build a virtual server. The only difference is that usually, IP tunnel is statically set up, but we here is dynamically set up tunnels. For example, the load balancer receive a request packet. It will dynamically select one of the real servers, then send a packet to the selected server through IP tunneling. And there is several tunnels. This is dynamically created. And the response packet will go to the client directly according their own routing table. The workflow of a virtual server via IP tunneling is the same is like but that of virtual server via net. But the only difference is it uses tunneling. Do you mean in virtual server via network as just translation or just a tunneling? Okay. We will see this workflow. For example, the IP, the request packet like this is destined for virtual IP address, right? And then the server will select, the load balancer will select one server. And encapsulate this packet in another IP packet, and put the server's IP address in the destination address, and then send it through internet, no matter it is a LAN or WAN. So the real server can receive the packet, and it found it the packet is used the IP protocol, so it will decapsulating it. Then the server will got this packet, and the destination address is virtual IP address. And here is some tricks. Just all the servers configure virtual IP address as a local device, so the real server can process the request locally. Then the server will send a response packet directly to the client.
But the source address on that packet will be the virtual IP address of the client.
Yeah. And in the response packet, the source address is the virtual IP address. So connection is established, no broken. Okay, the third one is a virtual server via direct routing. This IP load balancing approach is similar to the one implemented in IBM's Net Dispatcher. The load balancer and the real servers are connected by a physical network. This method is similar to the one implemented in IBM's Net Dispatch. Yeah, IBM have a very expensive product called Net Dispatcher. Yeah, if you buy their hardware like SP2 machines and buy their software too, it may cost you $1 million. So in here, the virtual IP address is shared by load balancer and server clusters. Yeah.
Are you using ARP or are you using routing
table? Here we use a physical network. Just we want to send a data frame. I will explain it later. Okay.
Why?
Let me continue. Okay. The load balancer has configured virtual IP address on its interface to accept incoming requests. And the real server configure virtual IP address as on some non-AIP devices. So that the packet destined for virtual IP address can process locally. And in this scheme, the response packet will also send to client directly. Okay, let's see why there should be physical network. See next. In direct routing workflow, the incoming request packet is IP packet is destined for virtual IP address. Then the load balancer will select a real server. Then this time it doesn't encapsulate the packet, but it changes the MAC address of data frame. And put the selected server's MAC address here, then transmit in the physical network. And the server can receive the packet and got the packet destined for virtual IP address. Since the virtual IP address is already configured on a non-AIP device or redirected to local socket, so the real server can process a packet, and then the response packet will go to the client directly. Do I make it clear? Yeah. But the real server do not do AIP response. Yeah, it is hidden. Only the load balancer do AIP response for virtual IP address. This is a logical figure. Yeah, just to tell you, there should be one load balancer, and the rest is real servers. Yeah, if the load balancer fails, the rest the survivor one can vote, one can be acted as a load balancer. Yeah. So we can compare three different techniques. Yeah. The advantage of virtual server via net is it is simple, and real server can run any operating system. It just requires it support TCP/IP, and only IP address is needed for load balancer, and real servers can use a private IP address. Disadvantage is the maximum number of server nodes is limited because both request and response packet are rewritten by load balancer. So it might be a bottleneck if not the number of server nodes increase to up 10 or 20. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. So, but it is not my work. Yes?
Can you fix that by having a map and that separate map box on the other map?
Sorry.
So you don't have to go back through the server here.
Yeah.
So you go out the load box. And that box goes the other half of the map of the box.
Yeah. Yeah, so then you're going to have to do data sharing between the two boxes.
No. If you already know, I need to translate it back. There's only one IP address. You just want to change that IP address to go out. Easy. You change the source of the replies. That's all you've got to do.
What if you're hoping you're going to go?
Okay.
So is the recovery time of your load balancer?
Yeah.
Load balancer fails.
Yeah.
Is the recovery time the same for all three methods of rerouting request?
If primary load balancer fails, the backup will take over. No, if the backup takes over, all the past established connection will be lost. And then new connection can establish. Yeah. The advantage of virtual server VIP tunneling, since the real server send response packet to client directly, and it can follow different network loads. And in most internet services, the request packet is often short, and the response packet often carry a large amount of data. So in this scheme, the scalability is very good. It may schedule 100 servers. And a real server can be in different networks, LAN or WAN. Disadvantage is the servers must support the IP tunneling protocol. Yeah?
Is that a real disadvantage?
Some operating system doesn't support IP tunneling protocol. Yeah, anyway, I test on Linux, so,
okay,
right. Yeah.
Are you
going
to get calls of MTU and have to do back discovery as you bring inside the tunnel and provide us the drop by CMP?
Yeah, before I forwarding the packet, I do MTU checking.
But if somebody's dropping the ICMP between you and your server,
yeah. Yeah. They are in the middle of load balancer. Yeah, load balancer will check MTU. Yeah.
But in real life, you
track
this, you'll find
that
a lot of
Yeah, if a client network block ICMP, it is not my responsibility, right? Yeah, the advantages of virtual server via direct routing. Yeah, it is like IP tunneling. The response packet go to client directly, and the scalability of this scheme is very good, and no tunneling overhead since it just change MAC address of data frame. Disadvantages the server must have a non-AIP alias interface, or server can be configured to direct some packet to local socket. And the load balancer and the server must be in a physical network. Yes? Yeah. If the load balancer and the real server in the same network and to the other side, yeah, there will be problem. If both do AIP response, there will be loss. And if they are in different network, there will be okay. Yeah, but in a lot of applications, maybe load balancer and real server are in the same network. If load balancer fails, the rest of real servers can vote and won't become load balancer. So here is a comparison table of three schemes. Okay. It is simple. Implementation issues. Okay. Actually, it is easier to implement LVS stuff in the kernel. It just hog two places in IP transversing in the kernel, just in the local in place and then forwarding place. And there are VS schedule and control module. And one is a virtual server rule table and a big connection hash table. And there are, in user space, there is IPvS ADM utility to communicate with the kernel and use sysocket. Sort OPT to change rules and read rules through proc file system. Yeah, that's it. And in current implementation, each connection entry just use 128 bytes effective memory. So if the load balancer has a 128 megabytes free memory, it can handle 1 million concurrent connections. And a connection hash table uses client and protocol address and port as hash key. So the hash collision is low, and the slow timer is implemented to collect back still connections. And ICMP handling is also implemented to forward the control or error message to the server or to the client correctly. And the three packet forwarding method can be used together even in a single load balancer. Okay. Connection scheduling. Yeah, I think it has a fine scheduling granularity because it just schedule network connections, and even connections from the same client can be scheduled to different servers. And we implemented four scheduling algorithms. And the first is round robin scheduling, weighted round robin scheduling, and least connection scheduling, and weighted least connection scheduling. The round robin scheduling just direct request to each server in round robin manner. It treats all the server have the same capacity. But however, in most applications, servers may have different processing capacity, or at a different, or even the server have the same configuration, and at a different time it may have different processing capacity. One server is the load is 0.8, or one is 0.1. So in this situation, we should direct requests to different server in different in different schemes. So in the weighted round robin scheduling, all the server with a high weight receive new connection first and get more connections than servers with lower weights. And the server with equal weights and get an equal distribution of new connections.
Is there a preferred method for weighting? How do you calculate what the weight should be?
Oh, weight just is an integer value. System administrator can change it through IPvSADM, or your user space cluster management software can change it. For example, there are agents on your load balancer, and connect load information of all the servers. Then, based on those load information, you calculate a weight, then pass the weight to the kernel. Yeah. Then do some load informed scheduling. Yeah.
If you're doing a virtual server by tunneling, and each of your nodes is on a different network connection,
Yeah. Can
the load balancer be intelligent enough to recognize which of the nodes will give the lowest latency return trip?
You need to write a different software. Yeah, to connect the load information and calculate the latency.
But that's in user space, right?
And
he can just write his own model.
Yeah. When you write user space programs, then pass the parameter to kernel.
Yeah.
Okay, least connection scheduling is simple. It's just direct new connection to the server with the least number of connection. And in weighted least connection, the connection is scheduled to each server in which percentage of current number of connections for each server is a ratio to its weight. Oh, in connection affinity. Yeah, up to now we assumed that network connection is independent for each other connection. So each connection can be assigned to server independent of any past or present or future assignment. But sometimes the connections from the same client must be assigned to the same server, either for functional or for performance reasons. For example, FTP is one, SSL and HTTP cookie. Yeah, FTP used FTP is a functional one because it uses a control connection and a data connection. If a control connection is scheduled to the real server, the data connection must be scheduled to the same server too. So here we use a persistent template to handle connection affinity. Do some record border and mark the which server is selected for the other client. Then all the connection from the same client will be sent to the same server. Local node feature. In virtual server of a few nodes, just one or two, there may be a resource waste if load balancing is only to direct packets. So we thought that we can make load balancer not only redirect packets but also process some requests locally. Just in a small cluster, yeah, load balancer not only schedule packet but also process some requests. Firewall mark based service. Yeah, we use it to implement virtual service based on protocol address and port. Later we found that we can use IP firewall mark to donate a virtual service instead of protocol address and port, because it is more flexible. We can use policy routing and firewall marking together, and to build a virtual service associated to different IP address and port numbers. Yeah, then cluster management software. Yeah, cluster management is a serious concern for ALVS system of many loads. And here are some solutions. Red Hat cluster server, Pyrena. It uses ALVS kernel patch and Red Hat actively developed Pyrena cluster management tools and the GUI configuration tool make it easier to manage the cluster. I think it is good. And there are also Arch Monkey. Use a LVS patch they developed the LVS GUI tool and use Heartbeat and AODirectD daemon to build an open source web server farm. And we can also use Heartbeat and AODirectD to do some cluster management. And Heartbeat and plus more can also work. So there must be many other solutions to do cluster management for ALVS. Okay, here are some sites running ALVS. United Kingdom National Giant Web Cache build a very big ALVS cluster. Yeah, last time they tell me the cluster has 28 nodes, and this national cache served 150 universities in United Kingdom, and Linux.com, Linux Porter, also use ALVS, and SourceForge. And one of the largest PC manufacturer, and they don't like I mention their name, so I just use one of the largest PC manufacturer. They use LVS to load balance their traffic to their back end NT servers. They do a direct online sales, so you can guess their name.
do they run Linux on their own boxes?
Yeah, the front end is LVS, do load balance. Back end is NT server, and their program is ASP, I guess. So, yeah, for online direct sales. Maybe their 1 year transaction is reach over 10 billion US dollars. Network.com built a very, very, very big virtual hosting server. Okay. Here are some related works. Okay.
We have a very large PC manufacturer that might run in hell. Which of the three strategies do they use? Do they use a tunneling?
They told me they use tunneling. Yeah. Yeah, in client server applications, one end is client, the other end is server, and in the middle maybe proxy. So there are many ways to dispatch requests. So existing request dispatching techniques can be classified into different categories. And the client-side approach, like Berkeley's smart client, use applet to connect load information of the servers, and the applet decide which server it needed to connect to. But this method is usually application related. And it will request the actual querying and probing. And there are also server-side non-lobbing DNS. This is this method will just map a single domain to different IP addresses in non-lobbing manner. But the catching nature of DNS hierarchy will prevent it taking effective. And the server may easily lead to load imbalance. And there are server-side application level scheduling methods like ADI and parallel web reserve proxy in Apache and Swab, they do application level scheduling. But in application level, the overhead is very high. The scalability is very bad. Maybe just can schedule 4 or 5 servers, then the system will be the bottleneck. And server-side IP level scheduling approach, like the first one is implemented in Berkeley Magic Lot, but it is a university research prototype. Then Cisco's local director LTIN's ACE Director and F5's Big IP also use network address translation approach. They are expensive commercial products. IBM's TCP router, it uses a modified network address translation approach to build a scalable server on IBM's SP2 machine. The TCP router changes the destination address of a request packet and forward to the chosen server. The server is also modified to put the TCP router address instead of its own address as a source address in response packet. So this method user make a response packet can send directly to the client, but it requires each server each server's operating system modified to put a source address of a TCP router. Later, they developed a network dispatcher. This one is the successor of a TCP router. The scheme is similar to the direct routing, virtual server via direct routing. This one's scalability is also very good, but it is also very, very expensive. So here's the conclusion. LVS has patched kernel 2.0 and kernel 2.2 to support three IP load balancing techniques and four scheduling algorithms. And the scalability is good. It can schedule up to 100 nodes. And it also have some high availability and support most TCP and UDP service. No modification to either client or server. Yeah, compared to other commercial products, it has the most IP load balancing technologies and four scheduling algorithms and robust code and a large number of user and developer base and proving reliable in big real world application. And anyway, it has free. Yeah, the future works is to make a LVS net field module for kernel 2.4 stable in the following months and implementing application-based or layer 7 load balancing inside the kernel. And I have already finished the code called kernel TCP virtual server in May. But this is just the code. Hope I have time to polish it and release it. This can do content-based scheduling inside the kernel, so it will be efficient, but also have a lot of flexibility to do many kinds of load balancing. Yeah, and then more load balancing algorithm and load sharing algorithm in LVS. We would like to explore a high degree of high availability. For example, in current solution, if the primary load balancer fails, the backup take over, all the established connection is lost. So we are trying to synchronize the connection table to the backup. Even when the primary fails, the backup can take over and the connection information is also there. So connection can continue. I would like to thank Julia Alastosov and Joseph Mark and Peter Case, Holmes and Lars and Roberto and many others helped me to do the Linux Virtual Server project. And thanks also to Red Hat and Ottawa Linux Symposium to give me a chance to give a talk here. Yeah, here is a UI of Linux Virtual Server project, and this is our logo for the project. Thank you. Thank you.
While you were talking, I was drawing. I work for SGI.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of high availability work.
Yeah.
I was wondering, in your NLB, your network load balancing servers,
yeah.
Could you use IP aliasing to fill over services?
Yeah.
To other systems?
We can. We use IP aliasing.
So you wouldn't lose all your connections if you failed over the IP alias, right?
Yeah.
And if all your clients were connected through IP aliasing?
Yeah, we usually configure virtual IP address on aliens device.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that would take care of that.
Yeah, if this fails, this one.